Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, asking the question, why wait for heaven? On 1-2 Radio, changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is February 19th, 2016. Today on A Course, I'm excited to welcome back author Susan Dugan. And our topic today comes from the very end of the manual for teachers. It's, you know, if you read the manual, all those little chapters, and they really are little chapters, sometimes they're only a page or two. Well, they're each numbered. So we're going to go to the very end, the number 29, which says, as for the rest. And it's kind of a summary or a synopsis of the course and a synopsis of a lot of the things that we've been talking about and being told to do or told to think as we go through the workbook and as we read the text. So if you have a copy of A Course in Miracles, or specifically if you have the manual for teachers handy, go ahead and just turn to the very end, number 29, as for the rest. Now, I know many of you are familiar with Susan because she's written a number of books on forgiveness, and she's also a monthly guest on this show. And if you live in Denver, you might be familiar with some of the things that she does, you know, some of the educational opportunities, because she's the co-founder of the School for A Course in Miracles. And she also facilitates ACIM study groups here in Denver, Colorado. So I know you're familiar with Susan, so let's get her onto the show today. And let's get you guys all into the Facebook, you know, chat room. And that's something that we do during the show. You can post comments or questions and that kind of thing. And we don't usually address those during the show, but I certainly read all your comments. And so I appreciate your participating that way. And one of the easiest ways to get there, if you haven't gone before, you're not sure where it is, go to our website, which is 12radio.com. And you're going to see on the left side, there's a number of things. That's the place where you go to access our archives, which are called On Demand. That's also a place where you can find our schedule. But you can find a link that says chat. And when you click that link, then you'll automatically be redirected to Facebook, where you can join the conversation. So come on in if you'd like to join us that way. So Susan, thank you so much for being here today, and thanks for the suggestion for the manual for teachers for our topic.
Thank you, CA. It's a wonderful section, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Maybe I'll just say something about the manual for teachers to start. If you're not familiar with the manual, it's the third part of A Course in Miracles, and it is when the course talks about teachers, it gives very sort of instructive, practical advice about how to live this and demonstrate this in our lives. And when it's talking about teachers in A Course in Miracles, if you're not real familiar with it and you're just a beginner or something, the course, when it talks about teachers, is talking about really anyone who wants to be a teacher is someone that's willing to practice forgiveness in their lives and has chosen A Course in Miracles as the path, the spiritual path that will lead them home back to the mind, back to the, back to the origin of the belief that we are separate and ultimately make a different choice about how to see that and awaken to the reality of our true undifferentiated union with God that we have completely forgotten and renounced. So the way that we demonstrate that is by learning through this built-in teacher that the course also comes with conveniently, which is Jesus, Holy Spirit, our teacher that is throughout this course speaking to us. And we at first believe that we're being spoken to as a personal self. I believe that I'm being, you know, it's talking to me, Susan. But it's really talking at a level that we're really not familiar with at all when we come to the course, because we're told in the course we've deliberately forgotten. It's speaking to us as a decision-making mind, a mind that this is all happening within that mind. And so it's getting us to kind of learn through practice to go back to the mind. And through this practice of forgiveness, which is questioning the cause whenever I'm upset, whenever I'm feeling unfairly treated in my relationships, we're training ourselves with help from this new inner teacher to question the cause of that, because the cause really isn't outside us. The cause is coming from this belief, mistaken silly, actually, belief in the mind that we could have separated, fragmented ourselves from perfect oneness, and that we really would had anything to gain in so doing. And really, we're learning, you know, that quite the opposite, that all of our suffering is actually a result, an outpicturing of that mistaken belief. And so to heal our mind over that, Jesus's means that he has given us is this practice of forgiveness. But we need, you know, as long as we believe that we are separate bodies and we believe we're here in a world of conflict, which we all do, and it seems very, very real to us, we have to learn to turn to this part of our mind that knows differently, that sees it differently, that knows, that remember to smile at that tiny, that idea, and knows that in truth it had no consequences. So that's kind of a little bit of background for the discussion today, this final section of the Manual for Teachers. And as for the rest, this is the final part of you know, it's funny that he's just kind of saying it in such a cavalier way, as for the rest.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
so for everything else we haven't mentioned so far.
And then he's really just, you know, reviewing a lot of what we've been told in the course. But it's kind of just as the workbook, you know, tells us this, we get to the end of the workbook and we're thinking, oh, you know, I'm so enlightened. and you know, then we're told then and the end of the text, and we're told this course is a beginning, not an end. You know, and so really the meat of the course is this practice in our lives, this learning to really be very present and mindful of what we're doing, and to again really raise to doubt. We don't have to believe it, as the workbook says, but we have to be willing to raise to doubt the cause of what of all of our upsets, all of our physical and emotional strife that we seem to be having, all of our sense of victimization that we are, you know, struggling with here, and to really just, you know, begin to question that, to remind ourselves, as lesson 5 tells us in the workbook, I am not upset for the reason I think. There's something else going on here. And that kind of opens a door for Jesus as our teacher. You know, it's a stepping back. It's a humility to say, you know, maybe I'm wrong about how I see it. And you know, that stepping back enables us to remember that there is a choice, that we could see peace instead of this, that there's a part of our mind that sees it very differently. And we're learning to be in moment to moment with lots of practice. We're learning to be in moment to moment contact and relationship with that inner teacher that's just always there, you know, is we're never ever alone anymore. which is such a comforting, you know, when you start practicing this, and when I first came to the course, it after a while, and I really got to a point where I remember sort of, you know, just bursting into tears and realizing that my deep sense of loneliness, the sense of loneliness that we all walk around with here, although we think we're the only ones that are doing it at first, it's not true. We have a part of us that is all loving and will never, ever condemn us and will never fail us and is offering us a better way of living, even in this world that we made as a defense against the truth. We can learn a different way. And through that willingness to learn, you know, a different way of relating to each other, to learn that you're never the cause of my loss of peace, that nothing outside us can take our peace away. Through that willingness to learn, we're going to be learning so much more than we even know. We don't have to let go of the idea that I'm a separate body. We don't have to let go of the idea that, you know, to try to wrap our heads around what an undifferentiated union, an abstract union with God, a oneness joined as one, means to get this course. What, you know, that awareness is already somewhere in our mind, and it will dawn on us when our fear and our guilt, the guilt that we're not in touch with over believing that we did separate, is slowly undone through our growing willingness and practice, our willingness to be in intimate relationship with this part of our mind that, you know, again, is really, you know, we're never alone, is always there. Even when we push him away, Jesus doesn't go anywhere. He just waits. You know, forgiveness is still and quietly does nothing. It merely looks and waits and judges not. He knows we're afraid. He's not rushing us. He's not trying to shake us awake out of this dream. And you know, but he is trying to get us to see that delay, that, you know, the delays that we're making up, because it was all solved long ago, we're told in the Course, and we can't understand that either. But that delay is hurtful, and we don't have to, you know, believe the ego telling us that you can't do this, and that, you know, it's too fearful and it's taking away everything you value. You don't have to do it that way. You know, this can be a gradual, gentle process, but you have to be in relationship with me, because I know, you know, speaking as Jesus knows, but we don't. And so, you know, you want to be with a teacher that knows where you're going. You know,
right.
But you don't want to be led by a blind guide, you know? So this section, as it reviews the major themes in the Course, to me, what really jumped out at me in going back and taking another look at it was how much he emphasizes our need to ask, our need to learn, our need to be in close relationship with our teacher. And that is, he says at one point, you know, to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance, which Holy Spirit is synonymous with Jesus, really, is to let yourself be absolved of guilt. We don't have to do that. We don't even know what the guilt is about. That happens for us through this relationship. And he says, it is the way out of hell for you.
So, yeah, I love that line.
Yeah, yeah.
No mincing of words there, huh?
Of words. And hell is, from the Course's perspective, you know, the only hell is the illusion of being in a world of conflict and separate from God. There cannot be anything but, you know, even the pleasurable things that we seem to experience as substitutes that we've made up for believing that we renounce that love, push that love away, you know, are at best temporary and never, ever really fill that lack, that deep loneliness that I was talking about, that all of us here, if we're honest with ourselves, really feel. You know, that's why we're so driven to find substitutes, to pair up with others that we can eventually will be scapegoats for the guilt that we feel. To you know, side with to make differences real, to side with organizations that, you know, that keep us, that condemn other organizations, so that we can feel righteous and okay about ourselves. And of course that never works either. We just keep getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And, you know, we just have to look at the world honestly and what we're doing, you know, the world we're in right now, to see where that leads. And, you know, not just in the United States, obviously, but which is quite, we're witnessing quite a cartoon version of that right now in our political world, but in the greater world. And, you know, I mean, there's horrible, horrible things going on in the world. There's terror everywhere we look. And, but what we're not aware of is that's the way we want it, because that, you know, our maladaptive solution to the non-existent problem of separation was to create all of these issues out there to keep mindless, so we would never go back to the mind and be with our with the teacher, with the part of our mind that thinks otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the exact quote from that you were referring to is, "Do not then think that the following the Holy Spirit's guidance is necessary merely because of your own inadequacies. It is the way out of hell for you."
That's right.
And in fact, I had been telling, you know, I've been telling people this for a couple weeks, actually, but I had mentioned to Bruce that, you know, I'd had, you know, one of my recurring patterns happen. And, you know, this may be one of the first times I could literally stop myself and say, how's it working out for you?
That's great.
You know, and that's what this is. You know, it's like we so resist just turning inwards and asking for advice or admitting that what we have made up is not working.
Yep.
And yet we eventually get to that point. And we've talked about that before. So often, many of the people that will come to the course are maybe older, or at least people who've been through some things, because we've, we've exhausted many of the opportunities or the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And when you exhaust all those alternatives, finally you go, how's it working out for you? You know? And so then you look at something like this, and you're not turning to the Holy Spirit just because of your own inadequacies, although that's a big part of it, but it's because you want out of hell, you know?
Right.
I do. I want out of hell. I want this to stop.
Right. And yet, I mean, even, you know, that's very true that we come to the court, you know, that's usually, it's not a very appealing path to people. To younger people who are still, their egos are still in the construction stage, you know, and really they're still trying to milk the world for all its treasures, quote unquote. But you know, you have to come to it after some disillusionment. But even then, even after I would say that was very true for me. You know, believe that you've been disillusioned by the world, you still try to fight like hell. You still try to spin it to have the course and your personal life improve in form too. You're trying to manifest and also do the course at the same time. And that's the course is, you know, they're two completely opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't really work. And eventually you realize that, you know, as a course student, if you stick with this, because it doesn't work, that, you know, your practice, you're trying to forgive things that are real. You're using the course, allowing the ego to join the journey, as the course says, to manipulate your relationships and make guilt, you know, keep guilt, the guilt being traded back and forth. And it never helps get to that sense of feeling so lonely and unloved and unloving that we really, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, is there in us. And it's that beginning to turn to our teacher and look at what's there within us, that loneliness, that deep loneliness that we feel within us honestly and without judgment, that allows us over time to really see that we're the same, you know, that it's in everyone, that everyone walking here is fighting the same hard battle that we are, desperately trying to fill themselves up from the outside with special relationships, with substances, with, everything, food, stuff, money, things that will make them feel safe. And it never really helps. But they're at the same time, they're also trying to trade off their guilt by finding people, you know, perpetrators out there to blame it on. And, you know, that's why religions were formed. That's why governments were formed. That's why political parties were formed. That's why, you know, all of this is all of the groups and the associations we make are really made for this covert purpose of trying to relieve ourselves from a guilt we don't understand in our mind, but it nags at us all the time. And then it doesn't work. And we just have to keep escalating and escalating. And, you know, there's another way. And so even once we've come to the course, you know, we have to really see through experience with having Jesus beside us and begin to see how resistant we really are to this. You know, at that point, when we're willing to be honest and admit that our way isn't working. And again, that's a moment to moment admission. When we're willing to do that, then he can help us. Then he can lead us. Then he can, you know, work with us and teach us. And then we can learn, because we have admitted we don't know the answer. But as long as we think we have the answer, we can't be taught.
Yeah. And in fact, here's a paragraph that's in this particular section that I think is exactly what you're talking about. And it says, here again is the paradox often referred to in the course. To say of myself, I can do nothing, is to gain all power. And yet, it is but a seeming paradox. As God created you, you have all the power. The image you made of yourself has none.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit knows the truth about you. The image you made does not. Yet, despite its obvious and complete ignorance, this image assumes it knows all things because you have given that belief to it.
That's right. That's so true, isn't it? And
Yes.
I mean, despite its obvious and complete ignorance, I mean, that's all of us. We have no idea what's going on, and yet but we're trying to teach ourselves. And we come to the course, with our previous quote unquote understandings of spiritual teachings, which are mostly just more of the ego thought system, and we
Right.
try to, that make the world very, very real and very threatening. And we try to mix that in with this as a way of making a better world. And of course it doesn't work. And then we wonder why the course isn't working and complain bitterly often about that. And so even and I mean, even when it comes down to just being a course student, this is very, very true that we try to understand, what Jesus would Ken called level one statements about, this oneness joined as one, this where there's no this undifferentiated union with God, in which there's no place where the Father and the Son leave off as something separate from themselves. Well, and it's completely abstract, and there are no bodies, and there's just that oneness. And we try to think, okay, well, that's all there is, and everything else is an illusion. And that's we don't understand that from level two, where we find ourselves deeply in level two in this dream of what separation, all the possibilities that separation, consequences that it might have had, which was just, it didn't have consequences, but that's what we're reviewing. And from that perspective, we can't wrap our heads around the truth. We need help. And so, even in our course practice, we have to reach a point where we're really willing to learn and willing to just forget everything that we know and not stop bringing in and trying to mix it with A Course in Miracles. If this path resonates for us, it's not everybody's path, and it isn't meant to be, and it doesn't claim to be. But if it really deeply does resonate for you, then the delay is, why do you tolerate this delay in within yourself? I mean, that's a worthwhile question to ask. Jesus would ask Helen, and did ask Helen, and told her that she was far too tolerant of mind wandering. And, which really means our projections of running out again to the world and running out to try to solve it there, when repeatedly in this course he's telling us it's in the mind. And so at some point, it's very helpful to ask yourself, why do I tolerate this? What purpose am I giving that? It's not a sin. But if this is the way out, and this is the way, and I'm not going to go poof, which is what the ego also tries to tell us.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to, have to relinquish my body and relinquish all my relationships. I'm not going to have to give up anything. I'm just going to change their purpose. And, it's going to be whatever guilt is blocking my intense identification with a personal self is going to be undone for me. Then there's nothing to lose here, So it's helpful. I mean, when we are stuck and in resistance, and I'm trying to work with this too, and at the recent Academy class at the foundation that I'm just still listening to, they emphasized this a lot because it was all on time, and that's a subject I'm not even going to go into here. But the, that idea that why do we, what purpose am I giving right now to my insisting that the problem is out there.
Well, because then it's not my fault.
And it's not my fault,
It's not my fault.
right? But is that what I mean? Is that gonna, is my purpose to feel better? Is my purpose,
Right, exactly. You have to go back to your purpose. Saying it's not my fault still isn't going to make you feel better about it.
and that's rooting, as Ken would say, that's rooting myself in a dream. But the dream is the cause of all my suffering. The dream is a defense against everything I want. And then I go around whining about how lonely and victimized I feel all the time, and how unloving and unlovable I feel all the time. And, so at some point, I guess I'm just saying that at some point we have to really, kind of grow up with the course, as Ken would say and did say. And really say, why am I delaying this? It's just a useful question. You don't have to berate yourself, or it's certainly not to judge yourself about, but to just ask yourself, what do I really want here? There is a way out. And if the answer is, I'm just too afraid right now, that's a good answer. that's a kind answer, because that's probably the truth. But if the answer is, you know, I don't know, and then think about it, you know, it's something to bring to your practice, and to say, you know, I really do have a choice here. And if I, even if I don't remember that Jesus is here, the Course, he's telling me he must be. So somewhere in my mind, there is an answer. And there's somewhere in my mind, there's a part of me that sees this differently and is at peace and feels love for me and everyone involved. So if Jesus thinks otherwise, you know, and that within that lies real peace, unaffected, you know, that is not vulnerable to all of this complete instability and conflict in the world, then why wouldn't I want that, you know? Maybe I could consider, you know, being patient and just asking for help. And this whole section, again, really emphasizes that's the Course's path, is really to change the purpose of our lives from this prison of the ego thought system to a classroom, which can be to tenderly, you know, with great mercy, look at the, you know, hateful imaginings that we've made, and begin to see that they're really just imaginings, and they had no dire consequences, and they didn't from the beginning, and they don't now, you know, and I can see that differently, and through that willingness to learn, I will see my relation, myself and others differently, with compassion, with that same tenderness, you know, seeing that it's only fear and seeing that it's only a call for love and that it's everyone's call. They're really the superficial differences that seem so colossal and insurmountable here among us are illusions that were set up to look that way. But there's a part of my mind that doesn't buy it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, and I was just thinking, you know, going back to this particular part of the, you know, manual, there's just so many great lines here and so many good, just great stuff that it reminded me of something I want to say that I often say about the manual. And that is that I always think it's kind of, it's mistitled, because I think especially when we get the Course in Miracles, we look at it and we go, manual for teachers. Well, I'm no teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. You know, that's for somebody else. And yet I find the manual for teachers the easiest part of this entire course to read. You know, it's a little short piece, really, but it's some of the clearest writing and some of just the most down-to-earth kind of statements that just really, you know, resonate to where I am. And the other thing that I would say that I like to remind people of, that it's, and it says this in the manual, is that it doesn't matter if you call yourself a teacher. We teach 24/7 because we are always demonstrating what our belief system is.
Right.
And so it's not a matter of, do you want to be a teacher of A Course in Miracles, or do you want to teach English or Spanish or anything else? You're demonstrating every minute of your life what you believe, what you think is really true. And it doesn't matter what you're saying. It doesn't matter what your affirmations are. You're demonstrating what you truly believe. And I just, you know, I love how clear the words are in this particular section. Like there's a section that says, you know, when you can, just start your day by asking him for help. And then at night, just be thankful for his guidance. And yet it says, but does this mean that you have to, you know, consult him on every single decision? And it says, no, that wouldn't be practical. But when you can, you know, get into that habit of bringing everything to him, whether it is something uncomfortable, it's an annoyance, it's a frustration, or whether it's just a decision that you're making. Get in the habit of understanding that you have your personal guide inside that you can always consult. And, you know, like I said, the way he says it in this particular, you know, place is just, it's so clear.
Right, right. Absolutely. And maybe we can read that at the end, because I think it's a nice practical thing to leave people with. It's because it echoes the rules for decision. And how does a teacher of God, earlier in the manual, how does a teacher of God spend his day?
Yes.
And, but there's also a section here, you know, again, with, we have to ask, we have to go to Jesus, Holy Spirit, and ask and be willing to learn. And this paragraph, in paragraph two, he says, no one could attempt to answer these questions alone. And it really is about bringing all of these, you know, everything to him, all of our questions. This, I mean, it's speaking about some other things there, but it's really, but it also applies to the practice, the habit, as you said, that, you know, of really turning to him and just, you know, what, again, raising to doubt the cause of everything that's going on. And so no one should attempt to answer these questions alone. Surely no teacher of God has come this far without realizing that. The curriculum is highly individualized and all aspects are under the Holy Spirit's particular care and guidance. Ask and he will answer. The responsibility is his and his alone. And he alone is fit to assume it. To do so is his function. To refer the questions to him is yours. Would you want to be responsible for decisions about which you understand so little? And so he's echoing that again. You know, you have to have that humility to admit that my way isn't working. I don't know.
Right.
And the function of, you know, sometimes I think we think that when it talks about forgiveness is our function and our only function, it's our function of forgiveness is much, you know, our contribution to that is much smaller than most of us want to make it. And it's really just bringing to him, you know, help me to look at this, that, you know, maybe something else is going on here when I'm upset, when I feel attacked, when I'm having an argument with someone, you know, what, or getting an email or watching something on the news, what, you know, that is my opportunity to say, I'm not upset for the reason I think. Maybe there's another cause. And because somewhere in my mind, peace still abides. Could you help me find it? You know, let me look at this, see this as you see it. And it's in that willingness to do that. And again, as you're saying, that very willingness to do that, that is really demonstrating in my relationships to others, that's teaching. Because
right.
I'm demonstrating in any relationship when I'm willing to go back to claim my power as a decision-making mind, to reclaim it, to refuse to side with the ego that I've, you know, that I've chosen, that this victimized personal self, when I'm willing to turn away from that and go back to the decision-making mind and, you know, and ask Jesus for his opinion, then I'm demonstrating within every, in ways that I can, again, cannot understand and don't have to, that same power within everyone. Everyone is a fragment of that decision-making mind and has the same inner equipment, has the same decision-making mind, the same ego, and the same Jesus Holy Spirit, the same teacher that I have. And so I'm offering, in a sense, that opportunity to someone else. I don't have to be concerned at all with talking to them about that, you know, what I'm doing. I'm going to practice forgiveness right now, and this is going
right.
to things. And we don't do that. This is all practiced within. But on some level, again, that choice that I made will be, you know, reminded in the other person, and when they're ready, also to make another choice. And that may, in time, be somewhere, you know, way different. So we don't look to, you know, to form to see whether they've gotten it or not, but you're reminding and strengthening the decision, the one decision making mind that we're all fragments of. So and beginning to dissolve those divides that we think are so important. And mm-hmm. so that's what teaching is in the course. It's not about, you know, people do teach A Course in Miracles, and you can choose to do that if you want to, but that's not what the manual is talking about, as you said.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's really all of this, you know, willingness to join with Jesus as our teacher, that and to let him teach us what forgiveness means, because we don't know. We think forgiveness is about forgiving something real that someone did to me. That's not the course's forgiveness.
No.
So again, it's really all about following, learning to follow instead of lead, you know, and really learning that, you know, through this process, being led to the understanding that we are a decision-making mind. What does he say else here?
So there's another passage that I like in here so much too, and it says, never forget that the Holy Spirit does not depend on your words. He understands the requests of your heart and answers them. And I like that because even though I don't see it as a bad thing to do, we can get so hooked up on what I call affirmations. And then we get all, you know, concerned. I know sometimes, oh, I didn't say that right. Or, you know, like people say, be careful of what you ask for, you know, and that somehow God is going to say, oh, she used the wrong word. And so that's what I'm going to give her. You know what I mean?
And that's very true. And the workbook, you know, sometimes we start to use the workbook as affirmations, the titles of the workbook,
right,
and so forth. And they're really not meant to be that. It doesn't, the words don't matter. But, and even in reading the course, the words don't really matter. I mean, that it's often students will try to, you know, diagram sentences and pull things, analyze little quirky wordings of the text or something like
You're
that.
You're talking about me.
We all do it.
I'm a good Catholic school girl. That's what I was good at, diagramming sentences.
Yeah. And you know, that is, this Ken always said that A Course in Miracles should be read like a great epic poem or a great work of literature, you know, to come to it as we approach art and not an intellectual treatise. The right. Intellectual dawn, you know, we will, through repetition, get the intellectual concepts, especially if we listen to Ken, because he helps us, you know, speed through that. But really, it's the greater willingness, you know, what do I ask for in my heart, the Course says. And the Course talks about the need of every heart. And the need of every heart is to learn that we're not the home of evil, darkness, and sin. And right. So it's not, and again, that's everybody's need. That's everybody's only need. It's, you know, we're so needy in the world. We're so needy in our relationships. We have so many conditions that we think we have to have, you know, financial, you know, emotional, and you know, political, you know, and we just are constant, you know, need machines. But it's really the willingness to go beyond that, again, to create that opening for love to teach us of itself. And that's, and the Course says that too. So it's really that, you know, I that willingness to not know. And I've done exactly what you're talking about too. I still sometimes, you know, did I phrase that correctly? in when I start the day and, you know, we're going to talk about that section maybe next, but, you know, how do I, what should I say about what I want? And I don't want to make it about form, and I don't want to make it about, and you know, it's Jesus knows. He knows us so well. He knows everything. And our only job again is to take the darkness to him, to raise to doubt. And whenever we become afraid, which let's face it is all throughout our day, there are things that we never saw coming. It seems like, right. And are, you know, just all of a sudden a challenge, a threat, a problem that comes up in our lives that, you know, we didn't, it just seems to come from, materialize out of the ether. And it's, you know, now we're under siege again and having to defend ourselves. That's the way it feels when we've identified with the ego. But that's not the, you know, we can question the cause of that. Of course, isn't saying that we don't take care of ourselves in the world, you know, Thoughts it can be dangerous to bodies. We still have to do the normal things people do, but we need to do them with a different teacher. And if we're doing them, if we've chosen to take it to Jesus, it will be a very different experience.
Right.
You know, the experience will be one, again, in which we're not seeing, we're seeing calls for love. We're seeing our own call for love. We're being tender with our fear. We're being tender with the fear of others. And whatever is most loving in any situation will just naturally flow through us. You know, we'll know, we'll have a confidence, we'll be in the present, truly in the present, where salvation lies, the Course says. It, you know, the holy instant that is outside of the ego's grip, in a way. And so we won't have that sense of chaos and, you know, horrible threat and vulnerability. We'll see that there is a peace there that envelops us all, including me, that you know, that can make it so that we can be truly, we can be responding without conflict in our mind, and that will make it so much easier to deal with, you know, informed, because we won't be at war with ourselves within, and we'll just be responding with love to ourselves and anyone else. And you know, that doesn't mean it on the outside, it may look to others, it may look, because you know, we might be doing the same things in form that we're doing, that we would do anyway, but there will be a different texture to it, there will be a kindness, a true kindness in it, that, again, that doesn't see the me and them, the, you know, of the ego thought system, the one or the other of the ego thought system. We won't be, you know, we'll see it as all the same need that we share to find our way home and out of this terrible loneliness and guilt that we're walking around with.
Yeah.
So maybe I will read that next part that you were talking about, because it really does, you know, give us a kind of a template for how to go through our day. And it's such a great reminder of how practical the course is, and you know, the decisions, how we can refer all of our decisions to him in a sense.
Okay.
I might even back up to, let's see. So it's right after that section that you talked about, yet despite its opposite, where we talked about how, you know, we keep trying to solve things for ourselves, and yet we don't know anything, and so it just doesn't really end well.
Okay.
But so he says, well, maybe I'll just reread the whole section so it's
that it'll flow.
Yeah. So it's partway through paragraph 4, and it starts out, "The Holy Spirit knows the truth about you. The image you made does not. Yet despite its obvious and complete ignorance, this image, you know, the image is Susan, CA, the personal self we think we are. This image assumes it knows all things because you have given that belief to it, such as your teaching and the teaching of the world that was made to uphold it. But the teacher, capital T teacher, who knows the truth, has not forgotten it, and that's Jesus, Holy Spirit. His decisions bring benefit to all, being wholly devoid of attack and therefore incapable of arousing guilt." And then in paragraph 5, he goes on to say, "Who assumes a power that he does not possess is deceiving himself. It's not a sin, but it's just self-deception. Yet to accept the power given him by God is but to acknowledge his creator and accept his gifts." And that's done, you know, we can't do that directly because we don't even, we think that God is gone. So we need a teacher that knows that nothing happened as a result of that tiny net idea, that we, you know, that we pushed God's love away, that we destroyed love. So the way to accept it, his gifts have no limit. To ask the Holy Spirit to decide for you is simply to accept your true inheritance, which is, you know, help us awaken to the oneness joined as one by removing the guilt for us. Does this mean that you cannot say anything without consulting him? No, indeed. That would hardly be practical. And it is the practical with which this course is most concerned. If you have made it a habit to ask for help when and where you can be confident that wisdom will be given you when you need it. And of course we are. We're asked to make this a habit. That's what the workbook is all about, introducing us to, and then we take it to the classroom of our lives. You know, that's the course's path, the heart of the course, is to moment to moment give a different purpose to my life, to look at it as a classroom where I'm learning from a different teacher. And the habit of forgiveness is to question every time I become upset the cause, and to ask Jesus, Holy Spirit, to look at it with me. What's really going on here? You know, help me to see this. And that will shift us to an awareness that is way different from the one that we start with. And it won't be about, you know, feeling unfairly treated. It will be kind and loving to all. We will see that it's all the same, that it's my call for love, really. And that will help us. It will instantly give us, at the moment that we accept it, the answer, a compassion for everyone involved. And, you know, that will be completely not based on what's going on in form. So prepare for this each morning. Remember God when you can throughout the day. Ask the Holy Spirit's help when it is feasible to do so, and thank him for his guidance at night. And your confidence will be well-founded indeed. So, you know, that's our day. That's how we spend our day. We prepare each morning by, you know, making this, asking in whatever words are meaningful to us at the moment, not a rote script, but, you know, help me to look at everything differently, everyone and everything that happens today with you. Help me to remember to ask you. You know, help me to see myself and everyone involved as you see it.
Right.
And then, you know, that's preparing each morning. And then throughout the day, anytime I become upset, when it's feasible to do so, when I have a moment, sometimes I'm too busy in the world, but try to be mindful about this. It doesn't take very long. And I can at least remind myself that I want to, you know, I want to connect with Jesus this way. I can at least say, you know, maybe I'm not upset for the reason I think. And then, so when it's feasible to do so, and thank him for his guidance at night. And the Course even says in other places, your sleeping dreams, as opposed to the waking one we seem to be living, under the Holy Spirit's guidance. So that even in your sleep, he can work with you as your teacher. So, you know, that's like a great formula for how to spend the day right there. So
well, and I liked how you paraphrased it. Help me see myself the way you see me.
Right.
Because it goes right back to that paragraph that says, the image you made of yourself doesn't have any power, and it's kind of clueless. You know, I mean, they don't use the word clueless, but that's what it says. The Holy Spirit knows the truth about you, and the image you made does not.
That's right. It's completely clueless. And so afraid, you know, I mean, the ego, I really have been seeing the ego, and just wrote something on a post this week on my site, you know, again, about seeing that ego is just a frightened, it seems like such a formidable, you know, villain with all these horrible superpowers. But in fact, you know, it's just this tiny little child, I see it as this tiny little boy, you know, dressed up in a super anti-hero costume, wielding a paper towel.
Right, acting out.
As a semi-automatic weapon and threatening and making all sorts of sound effects. But it's all, you know, sound and fury. It's nothing. And we can see that. That is in our mind, but we can't do it alone.
Right. That's right. We can't do it alone. That's what we hear in the course, in the workbook, in the manual, over and over and over.
Again, and the good news, we're never alone. You know,
right.
Feel like that. It's only because we, you know, we're too afraid to accept that we're never alone, to accept the answer, and that's not a sin.
Yeah. It's not a sin. It's a mistake.
Just a mistake.
And a mistake can be corrected.
Right. So be patient with yourself when you're stuck like that. And just remember, even though, you know, I feel really alone, Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. And I'll remember, you know, I'll let him back in as soon as my fear subsides.
That's right.
And just remembering him will help the fear subside.
Yeah. Well, Susan, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And thanks. You always have such great ideas and turn my mind towards things that I really appreciate and that are really good for me. So thank you so much for that input. And what announcements would you like to make before we close the show today?
Well, I do have a couple. One is that I've been invited. There's an organization called MiracleShare.org that's an online, it's kind of a social media, of Course in Miracles sharing site. There's lots of different teachers and students there. But anyway, they do some great things. And Danielle Scruton, who is one of the people that run that Miracle Share, they're starting a series of webinars, and they invited me. The first one is going to be run by Danielle, and the topic is parents and children.
Really? Oh, great!
It's free, and it's on the... It begins February 22nd. So I'm going to be kind of invited as sort of a guest teacher. I'll be attending at least three of the four. There's one that I might be out of town on. But it's just an hour kind of thing. I think it's going to be kind of informal. And it is, we're hoping to base this on Ken Wapnick's teachings, of course, which on parents and children, which are just, you know, really, really helpful. So you can find out, I think you're posting it on, it's on my...
I will. I'm going to go ahead and post it in the chat room, and I will also post it on my Facebook page.
Perfect. And so that's going to be happening. And then there's, I wanted to just also mention that the Foundation for A Course in Miracles is beginning a big warehouse sale of Ken Wapnick's books, because they're going digital. They're going to be phasing out the print versions.
Oh.
So if you want to get them, you know, go to the foundation's website and go to the bookstore and take a look at this. It's also on their announcements page. So, you know, that's going to be happening. It's a great opportunity to complete your library of Ken's works or buy those books that you've always wanted to get. And finally, just another pitch for streaming and the Temecula classes at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles in Temecula, California. They are so absolutely marvelous. No one on the planet that I'm aware of is teaching at the level that the Foundation is teaching at. And while we have the Foundation, you know, it just, if you've never done it or you're just putting it off, go do it. I'm still listening to the, I streamed it and have been reviewing afterwards, the February Academy 2-day class. And I can't even, every time it seems it's like so much, you know, you don't think they can get better, but they do. So,
right.
So big pitch again for all of the great work that the Foundation for A Course in Miracles does. My gratitude to them is, you know, I can't even describe it.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Well, and I will remind people, I mean, you know, we say this, I think, every show, but that Foundation for A Course in Miracles is www.facim.org. And also you can find Susan at www.forays.com. So Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you, CA. It's always a pleasure.
And listeners and everybody in the chat room, thanks for joining me. And I want to thank our producer, Scott Weaver. And I would like to encourage you to stick around, because in about 5 minutes or so, it's going to be the Through Line with Christine DeMaurier here on Fabulous Fridays on 1-2 Radio. And of course, she is followed by a number of other wonderful hosts with live shows. So I hope you'll stick around. Until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, with my guest, Susan Dugan, here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.